Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Screen Geeks Radio, episode 36. This is Dave.
This is Barry.
And Josh.
Yay, we made it back for another week after we...
36,
kinda,
really?
Yeah, we kind of cheated last week by putting up the Mark Lugie interview. I really cheated, and I apologize for people who wanted intro and outro music, because I just didn't even do that.
Cool, 36, this show is older than we are.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, then. Wow. Yes, and I don't feel any older now. No. Yes. All right. Hey, you know, since Geek Label's on a hiatus, we can actually, like, catch up with them or something now.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Yes. That's right. Ha-ha. Yeah, Geek Radio, you guys have to start over. I do feel bad, but we're ahead now. For once.
Dun, dun.
Granted, they get a lot more downloads, but still, that's okay. Let's start off talking about what movies we watched, because we all of us watched like a whole crap load of movies this week. I watched part of a movie and couldn't. Yeah.
Well, last week's theatrical releases included.
No. What we watched like at home.
Oh, we're just gonna do that first.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. Just hanging out. Yeah, no, it's all good. We haven't done it in a while, so that's why I'm like, hey, witty banter, quote unquote. I don't know.
Who wants to go?
I'll start with one I almost finished. Or almost started, I guess you should say. Slow day at work. Well, let's pop a DVD in. So I went to the game store I work at and grabbed Pulse. Because I love I love Kristen Bell.
Yeah.
Got 20 minutes into it and had to eject because no.
I could believe how bad that was. I had to see that thing in theaters.
It was phenomenally bad.
Yeah.
Didn't want to know how it ended, if she lived or
could
died?
Not have cared less.
Do you want to see if a microwave ate her at the end? Or?
like after the whole like session with the shrink thing, I was, what the heck?
Did you make it to the arms coming out of the
no.
washer and dryer?
No.
That wasn't even cool. The trailer was like 1,000 times
better. The trailer was creepy. I actually wanted to see the trailer.
The void like the plague.
Yeah. Okay. Anyone else want to prop anything up about that? I figured we'd start to set the bar really low and then work our way up.
I finally got around to seeing Bobby.
Oh, the Emilia West movie.
Yeah, because Mary's in it.
I thought you were going to say because it was the anniversary of RBJ's assassination 40 years ago.
Oh, hell no. It was first thing I put on the queue was like, Bobby.
I have legitimate reasons for watching a film. Perish the thought.
No, I actually was curious seeing it. You didn't like it that much, did you?
Mixed bag at best, I thought.
Yeah, I thought it was too pretentious. I thought it was trying too hard. Tried way, way too hard. But I really liked the last like 20 minutes of it.
Yes.
But watching it, I felt like I would rather be watching a biopic or something on his life. Seriously, because I mean, nothing really had to do with
anything.
Him. Yeah, it's just all fluff. So
I agree with you, though. The assassination scene is so powerful.
Oh, definitely.
And I think that might have had to do with a lot of the reason that critics were, a lot of them bent over backwards to say how it was one of the best films of the year. And I agree. Like the last 20, 30 minutes of it were so good and so potent. And, you know, RBJ's words were all over the film, and it was very powerful. But everything up to it, I mean, you know, regardless of what you feel about the actors, the whole bit with Shia LaBeouf tripping on acid.
was funny, but not totally unnecessary.
Yeah, yeah. It's not that he was bad. It's just like, why is this in the movie? Heather Graham, you know, Demi Moore, Ashton Kutcher. To me, it was almost like an all-star episode of The Love Boat, really. It's like all these people just kind of...
Whoa.
They're just kind of showing up. You know, and, you know, it's like as much as I love Harry Belafonte and Anthony Hopkins and even Emilio Estevez, it felt like he was trying too hard to make like a Robert Altman kind of movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Mary was good.
She was. I really can't.
And that's
fault
all that mattered.
Yeah, I can't really fault any of the actors specifically. And there were some that really that stood out with me. I loved Freddie Rodriguez and Lawrence Fishburne as the cooks. I thought they were great.
Yeah. Oh, and then I also watched RoboCop, which cooked ass.
Yes, you finally saw RoboCop. Awesome.
Yes. So, yep. Very cool. And I finally. Oh, did you see anything in particular this week, sir?
I did.
Do you want to go ahead, or do you want to save yours for the painful end?
Well,
or the good end, or whatever.
I guess I could fess up to it. It kind of ties into our topic today about summer movie flops. Last night, for the first time in a long time, I saw Super Mario Brothers, and I've not seen that since I was, I guess I was 93. So I was,
has it aged well?
No,
I think I watched it about 2 years ago.
Yeah,
it didn't age well when it came out.
No, it was pretty weak then, but I wanted to give it another shot.
Was that a flop though?
Oh yeah,
big time. Oh
really? Yes. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it picked up a following on, you know, VHS like a lot of movies do. But yeah, it's really bad. Really, really
it's
bad.
Terrible. Yeah.
And even like the opening scene, it just like, you know, I can't think of two actors who are less Italian than Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo. Like, there's no way these guys are Mario Brothers. And the effects are bad, and Dennis Hopper is like, he's playing, you know, King Koopa, like a G-rated version of the character he played in Blue Velvet. Like, he's all dressed in black, just like that character, and he's acting just like him, except, you know, it's a G, it's like a PG movie, so, you know, there's no F-bombs or
kill
anything.
That plumber! That's all I remember.
Yeah, yeah.
Even Yoshi was totally unnecessary. The tongue,
the whole
thing,
movie though, is unnecessary. It's like, it's got these big clunky, it's like, it's got a lot of action. It's never boring, it's never slow, but it's really clunky, and it's not exciting. It's just...
Well, the stupid scene with the Goombas on the mattresses going down the ice pipes.
Right. And the part where they get the Goombas to dance with each other in the elevator. It's just, yeah, maybe there's a good movie in there, but I just thought it was such a dud. And it's just amazing, like, a movie that you could really love as a kid. And you see now, because I know a lot of people really loved it. They're like, oh, I loved that movie when I was a kid. You know, it's one of these
not
movies.
Anymore.
Yeah, and you see it now. It's like, you know, Police Academy 3 really wasn't the funniest movie ever made. You know, Super Mario Brothers really wasn't the coolest movie ever made. But,
did you watch it on VHS or DVD?
I'm embarrassed to admit, I saw it on YouTube last night.
What's so embarrassing? You didn't spend money though, so.
Well, you know, I don't like to support, you know, not paying for a movie. Yeah, you know, I mean, I want the creators of Super Mario Brothers to get their 3 cents because, you know.
Okay. Well, maybe somebody will go out and rent it now.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm really helping it now. But no, I'd always wanted to see it. I couldn't find it anywhere, and I've been trying to find it on VHS.
I have it on VHS.
Do you? I should have just borrowed it from you. Well, anyway, I really wanted to see it. I was in a weird mood to see it. And the funny thing is, Marty called me while I was watching it, and he thought, like, I was dying to get off the phone to see the movie. And the truth is, like, I know he had to go. So I was, like, trying to let Marty get off the phone so he can do his own thing. And he's like, oh, okay, fine. I know you're just dying to get back to Super Mario Brothers. Like, no, really, Marty, I'm not. I'd rather talk to you. And as soon as I hung up on Marty, like, it was the scene, it's the dance sequence where they're all dancing God. To the dinosaur.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Isn't B-52s in it, too, for... they did a song for the soundtrack. I have the stupid soundtrack on audio cassette.
You rock, it's good soundtrack. Rock set, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. It's like all the 90s big names.
God.
Okay. Yeah. Do we have any other movies to mention at all? Or
I think that hurt.
Did you want to mention that one? Or
which one?
That one, if you want to.
I could mention American Sweethearts.
just because I'm guessing it's been a while since you've seen it.
Yeah, I saw it when it was in theaters. That's the last time I saw it. And... You know, it's got some funny stuff, but I can't say I really
it's
like
a guilty pleasure. You borrowed my copy, I'll admit it.
Yeah, you know, even when I saw it in the theater, I thought everything with Christopher Walken was hysterical.
And I'm completely remiss, too, because I missed a movie. So does anyone else have any more? Because I'll just do my last two. You got any more? Okay. I borrowed Dead Silence from Josh.
Yay.
And I will eat some humble pie. It wasn't a complete piece of crap. It was a vast improvement on what I think the Saw movies are.
Yay.
The ending was beyond predictable.
Yep.
But it was still very well done. I was really amazed at the lack of gore in the movie.
Yeah.
Very impressed, actually, because it actually forced the filmmakers to tell a story. And they did a pretty darn good job of it.
Yeah.
I just love the gimmick of it. I love the quietness and stuff.
Well, and people are freaked out by ventriloquist dummies anyway.
Yeah.
And that just kind of...
Although I got to say, I don't think I've ever seen a ventriloquist dummy that ugly is the one in the movie. I mean, it's such an ugly, ugly doll. Because I had a ventriloquist doll when I was a kid. I had this little Jerry Mahoney doll. And my father had it up on the shelf. And I had the top bunk. So every night, I would go to bed with that stupid thing staring at me.
Oh, I would be able to do that. How do you sleep as a kid?
I got to say, even that ugly Jerry Mahoney doll that stared at me my whole childhood was nothing compared to that doll in that movie. It's so creepy and ugly. And it had like this elongated forehead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good, fun movie. It's well worth a rental, at least.
Yeah. And you guys should definitely check out Death Sentence, too, because that's even a step above this.
And that's James Wan again?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to put that in the Netflix queue. I just loaded up with a bunch of Criterions. But the final movie I saw, speaking of Criterions, was Young Mr. Lincoln from the Criterion Collection. It's a Fox film from 1939. Henry Fonda playing Abraham Lincoln, looking scarily like Abraham Lincoln. Like, cool. The first time he comes on screen, I'm like, whoa, I never noticed the resemblance. Huh. It is... Unlike what Oliver Stone is trying to say, the W film's going to be, you know, fair, balanced, whatever. This movie is a love letter to Abraham Lincoln and who he was and what he stood for. It takes place all before he even ran for president. So it's about his earlier life, and it was really good. I can't highly recommend checking it out enough. Pretty much the only place you're going to see it is on Netflix, unless you go out and buy it, but it's well worth a rental.
Cool.
So, yeah. Shall we just move on to ye old theatrical releases for this week?
Well, I wanted to ask you, Dave, really quick. What did you think the scariest scene in Dead Silence was?
Oh.
Because there's a few in that movie. The part where the old guy is like underneath the
that was the first one that came to mind.
And she came out at him. I thought that was so freaking scary.
Well, and what was scary about it was when he screamed and then she smiled because he screamed. That was like, ah!
Yeah.
I still think the opening scene is terrible.
Yeah, that was too. That was like the second, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
I love the part that freaked me out more than the opening scene is the part at the hotel with the red lighting, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Where she just kind of appears behind the curtains. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Very, yeah, it's got some legitimate good scares in it. So
yeah, and I think that's why I liked it too, as much as you did, Dave. It's just classy.
It's not just jump,
gory. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's see the theatrical releases this week. All two of them.
Kung Fu Panda, which I gotta say, not only has it opened huge, but I've heard good things about. Marty loved it.
Ethan posted an 8 out of 10 review for us. So
yeah, everybody's saying how good it is. So obviously,
which that's quite a turnaround from the Shrek the Turd and Flushed Away.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I heard somebody even said. Sorry to interrupt.
Okay, go ahead.
But like Pixar better watch their back on WALL-E. I think I read an interview. Well, like, damn, son.
Wow. Okay, one movie is not going to.
Yeah, that's. I'm like, no.
No. No. Okay.
Well, you never know, because I remember summer 2001 when Shrek came out, and everyone's like, oh, Disney's going to wipe the floor with them with Atlantis, The Last Empire, you know.
And nope.
Yeah. But yeah, okay.
And then truly one of the worst films of the year, You Don't Mess with Zohan, also came out this weekend.
Okay, so the budget's $90 million.
Really?
Okay, so I just want to make sure you had the same thing. I
was waiting to see your face on
that. I was like,
I saw it.
I was like, where did the $90 million go?
And how much did they pay Adam Sandler?
That was Josh. That Josh said it went straight into his pockets.
Yeah. Do they pay him like $50 million? Because I could see the movie cost me $40 or $50 million, but...
Well, the effects of the eagle coming down and giving him a high five. I mean, that alone could have been $15 million.
Granted, there are a lot of effects in this movie, but...
ouch.
Yeah, I can't see.
Are there action scene, like set pieces?
Oh, yeah, There's lots of explosions, but it's so ridiculous because he's such a super spy. He's like, he's doing stuff that even Spider-Man can't do.
Yeah, essentially he's a superhero.
Essentially he is.
Israeli secret agent superhero.
And I would have loved that if the character was likable, funny, instead of the sex-obsessed, hummus-loving, Middle Eastern stereotype that they ultimately make him. I mean, it's...
So I have to ask, how's the Charlotte Ray love scene?
Charlotte Ray. Oh, gosh, that was nasty. But
okay, just making sure.
Yeah, I don't know. It's all the scenes where he's doing their hair is funny for a while because they're so sexually explicit. They're amusing because they're so outrageous and it's so go for broke. But after like the fifth or sixth geriatric woman that he's had this off-screen sex scene with, I just wasn't laughing anymore. And like I told you, the opening scene where the eagle flies down to high five him because Zohan is so cool, I laughed. And that's it.
I'm glad you told me that for free instead of me paying to see that.
Yeah.
Because
around the time Mariah Carey shows up, it's like, for me, it's the irredeemable moment of that movie. She shows up and she just sucks anything that was good about that movie, just gone.
But she was so good in Glitter. Okay, never mind.
Yeah. God, Glitter.
Okay, sorry.
Although I think I'd rather see Glitter again than Zohan, to tell you the truth.
All right, then.
We're feature with Coyote Ugly.
That's brutal.
With movies we don't like, we're starting to play Would You Rather now. It's like, Would You Rather?
It's like Russian roulette.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay, let's move on to some news, because holy crap, have we got a lot. Do you have any this week, Josh?
No, actually.
Okay, that's cool.
Comment on your guys'.
That's cool. Yeah, I guess I'll start off, because I've got a whole, like, seven or eight things. Oh, My Fair Lady. Because it needs to be remade. Because, you know, that Audrey Hepburn, you know, she wasn't that talented. Not, you know, really, really hard on the eyes. They're going to remake it with Keira Knightley.
Oh.
In the long line of movies that just don't need to be remade. That is an epic fail. There's no.
I'll give her the benefit of the doubt because I liked her in Pride and Prejudice. There's that.
And if you have to make a remake, I think she's not a bad choice.
And she's doing her own singing?
I think so.
That is the one thing that Audrey Hepburn did not do in the original, her own singing. But otherwise, likewise.
If you have to make a remake, I can see her being a solid choice, but why do you have to make the remake?
Yeah.
You don't. Okay.
Have you seen the original?
No, I have. Actually, I have not.
It's good.
Yeah. After you bring back the red balloon, I'll let you borrow it. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Go ahead, sir.
Well, geeks everywhere smiled in unison when they heard that Leonardo DiCaprio is playing one of the co-founders of Atari in the movie of the same name called Atari.
About the founders, the co-founders of Atari, people who made Pong.
Yes,
and did this catch you by surprise?
Oh yeah, I think it's what fun, and they have not cast Ted Dabney yet, the other co-founder, and you know if they cast someone with geek appeal like Elijah Wood or Johnny Depp, I swear the geeks are going to like camp out for this movie tomorrow.
Seth Rogen,
exactly, yeah, or Shia LaBeouf, yeah.
Oh no,
no, not much,
no.
Please,
no.
You guys are completely flipped on him now because that one movie, isn't it?
Yeah. What, did you forget about that little other movie he did? Oh, I didn't have a problem with him in India. It was that other one that I'm just trying not to mention anymore.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I'm kind of surprised to see DiCaprio going for such a geeky project. I don't know. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, then again, I thought the same thing when he did The Beach. I'm like, really? Out of all the movies he could have done after Titanic, The Beach? Really? So.
Yes. Well, to go to some sad news, we lost a comedy legend this week in Harvey Korman. Mm-hmm. I grew up watching him a ton on The Carol Burnett Show, and the man had an exquisite sense of timing, and he will be missed very much.
Yeah, true.
So, yes. Even in Dracula Dead and Loving It, he was still funny.
Yeah.
He was great in that. And High Anxiety.
Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
Blazing Saddles, yes. Mm, yeah, I put up a video of the whole part where they pledged to Hedley Lamarr. Yeah, it was great.
Nice.
Good stuff.
Well, at the end of Donnie Darko, I had a lot of questions. Like, does this element of time, the time continuum, really exist? Gretchen, what's ever going to happen to Gretchen? And considering the ending of the movie, does she know or even understand Donnie Darko? Does she, you know, is all that completely erased? And I think the biggest question that I did not have is whatever happened to Samantha Darko, the youngest of the Darko clan? Well, thanks to this crappy, completely unnecessary, hopefully straight to DVD video, S Darko, the S stands for Shameless, we're going to find out what happened to
Samantha. I was
going to
think of something else, but
yeah. Yeah, sure. Okay. Sorry, trying to keep it PG. DeVay Chase is indeed cast, reprising her role as Samantha Darko. Also in the cast is Elizabeth Berkley from Showgirls.
And Brianna Evangine, I can't pronounce her last name, but the girl from Step Up 2 is going to be in it too.
Oh, well, there you go.
So,
all right then. Wow.
My theory about this is I think like the producers went down the list of all the original cast of Donnie Darko, and they're like, no. And they got to the end like, damn it, even Frank the Bunny won't be in it. Who else? Oh, I know. Let's give the little girl a call. And she's like, okay. So now we have.
And then Elizabeth Berkley.
Well, here's the funny thing. There were questions, like you said, there were questions left to be answered. They just picked the wrong ones.
Right. Who cares about Samantha Darko?
Okay. All right.
Well, have you heard the plot of it too?
No.
It's like she's traumatized by her brother's death, so she starts having all these weird dreams, I guess, and she's on a road trip to California to go to college, I think, or something like that. Just sounds like, what?
Wow. Stupid. I got the tagline, which is, what would you do if you knew the future? Which is
okay. So what is the butterfly effect? 3?
Well, could they just do like that? Final Destination or
4? Yeah. Yeah. You know, whatever they need to.
I heard they're doing another one of those too, and that was going to be in 3D.
I heard that too. Boy. Yeah,
you know, Final Destination. It's a fun popcorn watch everybody get hacked up kind of movie.
But 3 was enough, I think.
I didn't see 3.
Oh, 3 was fun. I liked 3 was better than 2.
Yeah,
okay.
3 is much better. I liked it better than the first one.
And it
has
Mary Elizabeth Winstead, so.
Okay, so
Josh loved it.
But no, but seriously.
That is the Josh seal of approval.
The stab that. The roller coaster scene's really good. And
yeah,
I love the ending on the subway and stuff. Yeah, that's awesome.
That was cool. Okay. I liked what was it? Was it the blonde twins who ended up getting fried in
the tanning bed?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, some good stuff.
Right on. All right, I'm going to take 2 stories because I've still got like 6 more to go. So Andrew Stanton, a writer over at Pixar, is writing John Carter of Mars for Pixar. So the question is, I know that Pixar is doing a live action film for Brad Bird. Is this going to be live action or CG, you know, a cartoon or
now is this a comic or something?
It's a book from way back when. Yeah. I don't even know what year it was written, but
50s, 60s, something like that.
Something like that.
Way back.
Captured a lot of people's imaginations, kind of like what A Thief of Baghdad did for a lot of people too. And then what else have I got? Oh, the Religulous trailer.
But tell us why you didn't like it, because that's a very good reason.
Yes, I am of the faith of Christianity, and I believe me, I know we're going to have an opportunity at some point to point out all the flaws down the road, but when you're more smarmy than the supposed smarmy people that you're talking to about what they believe, you kind of lose all credibility. And Bill Maher has never been one to remotely try to be open to the truth. Even when he had his show, oh shoot, what was it? Politically Incorrect.
Yes.
He'd have people from both sides, but it was never really much of a question which side he would side on. So I really don't think he's the man to be making this movie. Just like, you know, on this, at the same token, you know, Expelled by Ben Stein. I don't know that that was a movie that needed to be made necessarily either. Even though I've heard good things about it and bad, this trailer totally turned me off because it's just more religion is the opiate of the masses. You're an idiot if you believe anything, blah, blah, blah. And I don't need that, really.
Sure.
And that's how I feel about Michael Moore's films, too.
So. Although, apparently, the last one I need to see. So I heard it was really good.
I heard it was really good, too.
Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, that's stupid.
No, you know, that's an excellent point, Dave. It's like, it's one thing to have something that presents a point of view, but it's another thing to be done by a guy who comes across so smarmy. And smarmy is, it's a good word to describe, because even the word is just, yeah.
Makes you want to smack the word.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, I'm willing to listen to anything that's a point of view that's different, or, you know, a point of view that's not popular. But if it's from a guy who's like, well, I told you so, you know, that's, no one's going to want to watch that.
There's a difference between a reaction and a shouting match. Sure. I mean, a debate and a discussion and a shouting match.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yep.
So, yeah. Okay. That was our political content for the week.
Hey, food for thought. Where the Wild Things Are. Between June 5th and the 30th, it's being reshot. And
the whole thing?
Well, I'm assuming it's about 90% of the movie because, you know, to say the very least, that's not like a few days of reshooting. That's almost a whole month. So yeah. I assume we're talking a lot of the movie, if not all of the movie. Warner Brothers, you know, as the story goes, they officially felt the original cut of the film is too scary and too weird. So now, and I don't even know if Spike Jonze is doing it himself, but somebody's getting in there and reshooting the heck out of this movie.
Is this even going to be worth it for them in the long run? Are they going to make their money back? Probably not.
This is turning into a fanboy scenario, pretty much.
Yeah.
Except it's just massive cuts as opposed to massive reshoots.
Yeah, and I, you know, who Warner Brothers to assume that they know what is too scary or too weird for children? I mean, what's Charlie in the Chocolate Factory? I mean, you know.
So what? Giant Carol Channing impression? So, oh, sorry.
So the movie's going to be like less Monster Squad, more Monsters, Inc.? Is that what they're going for?
Maybe. Okay, then. Remake Hocus Pocus.
No, don't touch that.
Wow. We'll talk about Hocus Pocus when we get to summer movie flops.
Yeah, we'll get there. Yeah. All right, I'll do another couple stories. Theoretically, I think this is a load of crap. But there's an interview that Slash Film has up with Louis Leterrier, the man who directed the film. And said, well, you know, you have all this crossover with movies. You had Captain America, Shield, and Iron Man, and in The Incredible Hulk, you just might get to see Captain America. That would entail the fact that they've already cast Captain America, and it hasn't made it out anywhere. That news hasn't made it anywhere. I think it's a load of BS.
And yep. Of course, it's going to be like Paul Walker as Captain America.
God. Why not Paul Reubens while you're at it? You know,
I'd see that.
He was a good mystery. He was a superhero mystery man.
Yes, he was.
Yes, he was.
Explain.
Yes, yes.
So see, he's.
Why do I know that?
I don't know. All right, and then my other bit of news is that, well, I got so much daggone. Microsoft, theoretically, there's been rumors going around forever that they're going to come out with a Blu-ray drive for the Xbox 360. There's a rumor that tomorrow, before Apple's big convention starts up an hour beforehand, Microsoft is going to announce that they are coming out with a Blu-ray drive, an Xbox 360 with a Blu-ray drive in it. I think it's a load of BS again, but you never know.
Yeah. Does that mean I'd have to sell my Xbox and then get another?
If you wanted to watch Blu-ray movies.
Which I do.
Or they could do the same thing they did with the HD DVD drive and come out with an external add-on.
That'd be nice.
So, yeah. Either way, it's worth mentioning because it does relate to the home theater front. So, yeah. Have you got anything else, sir?
Just one last one. For the movie Dave can't wait to see next year, Terminator Salvation.
Yes.
Future begins. Charlotte Gainsborough.
No. It's Mick Terminator Salvation begins.
I'm going to give it a chance.
I will too.
Did you read the spoiler for the end? That's no, been confirmed as ain't it cool.
I'm not going to read the spoilers. No, that's your guys' department. I don't read spoilers. I don't want to know.
Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. Okay. So, sorry. Go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
Well, Charlotte Gainsborough, a French actress I like a lot. She was in Lemming. Very good actress. She's out, and Bryce Dallas Howard is in.
Which I don't necessarily have a problem with.
The future is now looking a whole lot hotter.
For his wife, for Connor's wife?
Yes, Kate Connor, right?
Yeah. Kate Connor? Yes. Okay. I heard the hot girl from... Why did I watch it, man? I watched that too.
Oh yeah,
I didn't want to talk about it. The girl from that in Terminator 2, I heard.
Linda Hamilton?
No,
you mean Terminator also?
Also,
okay,
yeah,
okay, yeah. Not Terminator 2, but Terminator.
Yeah, Terminator as well.
Okay, gotcha. That movie. Oh, okay. Yeah, so we're not going to discuss the spoiler. When you read the spoiler, did you die a little bit inside?
A lot.
Yes. Okay.
All right. Let me ask you: is it that John Connor's the Terminator? Was that it?
No, it's worse.
Really?
Worse I think so. That? Yes.
Crap.
Yes.
Now so, I got to wait a whole summer to find out.
But nothing can be as bad as the Happening ending.
That I told Josh about. Well, it's something so curious. I'm like, oh, you know, sometimes I read about it and I'm like, I'm really curious to see how they pull this off. Then I read the end of the Happening.
You
I'm
know,
like,
and that sucks because I was really looking forward to seeing it. I was too. I was like, oh, this is going to be cool. And
but you're seeing it this week, right?
I'm seeing it Tuesday. Yeah.
Okay, I'm really curious to see what you think about it.
48 hours from now. Yeah.
I'm really curious to see what you think about it. So, yeah.
I'll probably call you like Tuesday afternoon and be like, God, I can't believe everybody ended up being a werewolf. That's so lame.
He guessed it. No.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd go for that.
Yeah. I have two more news stories and one thing related to us. What was the last one? Oh, I guess they're all kind of sort of related to us. Can't Stop the Serenity. You know, Firefly, the series that would not die. Now they're doing comic books, doing all this fun stuff. Apparently, there is a bunch of screenings, 15 screenings going around the world of Serenity, with all the proceeds going to Equality Now, which is Joss Whedon's favorite charity.
Awesome.
So you can see if you can go to can'tstoptheserenity.com, I believe. I'll put it in our show notes. And you can see if the screening near you is sold out. I know the one in Denver just sold out. I think it was the first one. Mm. But they're going to have costume contests and giveaways and all kinds of really cool stuff. So if you're a Firefly fan, see if it's showing nearby. I know it's showing, I think, in Ottawa and Toronto up in Canada as well. So
great.
All over the place. Let me see. The last bit of fun stuff. I showed this to Josh and Barry. Over at Games Radar via Will Wheaton's blog, someone made a video using Grand Theft Auto 4. And recreated the opening to Police Squad / Naked Gun.
Awesome.
With the car driving around.
Brilliant.
It's amazing. Yes.
It really is.
Very well done. And finally, coming up, we're going to be doing some eBay auctions for the site. No, it's not to make us money. Actually, I was exposed a couple years ago to a charity called Child's Play, which is where all the money raised goes to children's hospitals. While these kids are stuck in the hospital over the holidays or whatever, they get video games, DVDs, all kinds of stuff to help the entire family be able to keep their sanity while they're going through all this hard time. So I'm going to be auctioning off a copy of the second issue of the Gotham Times. And if you've seen the Harvey Dent button, like the promotional campaign buttons, I was also sent one of those that was melted halfway across. So they're pretty good collector's items. I'll put up a post when we put them up. But 100% of the proceeds, like all I'm getting is shipping cost to ship the thing out to you, but everything is going to go to Child's Play. So
terrific.
Yeah, we're trying to do more stuff. We've also got a copy of the Evil Dead 2 collector's tin. There were only 50,000 copies. We're donating that to Horror Fest's auction next year and doing cool stuff. So I think that's about it.
Yeah, I'm good.
Cool. All right. Well, we will be right back.
Hello, this is J.C. Hutchins speaking.
Fuck you, Hutchins.
Well, hey, Sigler. Gosh, how's it going? Gee, I hope you're well.
I'm not fucking well. I'm fucking annoyed.
Well, golly, why is that?
The nominations for the Parsec Awards are coming up again.
Gosh, the Parsec Awards? You mean those Nidoqueen Awards given to the year's best speculative fiction podcast?
Yeah, that's right. The fucking Parsec Awards. Anyone can nominate their favorite podcast at www.parsecawards.com. The winners are announced at DragonCon in Atlanta, August 29th through September 1st.
Well, holy cow. When's the deadline to nominate stuff?
The nominations close at midnight on June 15th. The stories themselves had to have run between May 1st, 2007 and April 30th, 2008. Whatever kind of podcast, fiction, story, whatever people liked, they can just go to ParsecAwards.com and fucking vote for it.
Wowie! Boy, I bet the Parsec Awards will really have some keen categories this year.
They've got fucking dozens of fucking categories, like best fucking short story, best fucking novella, and best motherfucking long form fiction, which is that thing that you and I do.
What? They have an award for what we do?
Fucking ain't right they do. Best long form fiction, which means best novel.
But you've never won a Parsec.
No shit, you fucking jet age genius. Neither of you.
Well, the Parsec Awards.
Whoa.
Them right in their cornhole motherfucking shitting ears.
That's what I'm saying.
Stupid aardvark sucking.
Whoa.
Dick licking.
Jeez.
Camel fucking.
Holy
shit fucking ass wipes. I swear the next time I fucking hear about one of those goddamn things, I'll put that little statuette where the fucking sun don't shine.
Take a Prozac.
Shit sucking ass motherfucking sucking toilet paper
kiss
roll.
Kiss your mom with that mouth?
Licking, wow. Shitting cunt burgers.
Jeez, dude. Take it easy. It's just an award.
So that what was that you were saying about doing a PG show earlier?
I want to thank Kevin Smith for that ad.
So the Parsec Awards are coming up, just in case you didn't pick that up. Essentially, you can nominate your favorite podcast. If someone wanted to nominate us, you'd be more than welcome to. We'd be happy to. We're not going to nominate ourselves. We have someone set up in proxy should we actually get nominated and win for best infotainment. I think that's the only one we can actually qualify for. But yeah, go to parsecawards.com. You can pop in our RSS feed, and that'd be cool. If not, no worries. But yeah, just I'd bring that up because that is one of the funniest commercials I think I've ever heard in my life. So yeah. Yes, I did it just for the heck of it.
Just a hair outrageous, but good stuff. Good stuff.
Yes. All right, let's move on to our topic. And we actually got audio this week.
Maybe this automatron can help us come up with new movie ideas. How can a robot come up with better ideas for movies than us? Watch this. Awesomeo, given the current trends of the movie going public, can you come up with an idea for a movie that will break 100 million box office?
Okay, how about this? Adam Sandler is like in love with some girl. But then it turns out that the girl is actually a golden retriever or something.
No! Perfect! We'll call it Puppy Love! Give us another movie idea, Awesomeo!
Yeah!
Let's hear it!
Well, yeah, we want to hear it!
Okay, how about this? Adam Sandler inherits, like, $1 billion, but first he has to, like, become a boxer or something.
Yes, it's flawless!
Punch drunk billionaire!
So, is that how you felt about Zohan watching it?
Yes.
Adam Sandler's like, serious. But then he had to like do hair or something.
And have sex with the housekeeper from Facts of Life.
Well, at one point, he pees on a cat.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. And he plays hacky sack with a cat, too. It's like, it's.
Not such, like with the hacky sack as a partner, but with as the hacky sack.
Right, as the hacky sack. Okay. Yeah, it's such garbage.
Okay, all right. So what are we talking about this week?
Summer movie flops.
And we may get away from summer movie flops because a flop's a flop.
Yeah, because it's pretty broad. Although all the ones you guys have mentioned beforehand, I mean, it sounds like we're going to stick to the summer movie criteria.
Okay. Yeah,
but I'll be a total IMDb loving dork and just step all over you guys as soon as you. I'm like, hey, that's a fall film.
Fair enough. And you know, we're going to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yes.
Because there's some really good movies that have been bombs.
Oh, and, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, like UHF.
Yes, I love UHF.
It's a great movie.
I'll just start it off right there.
Yeah.
It had huge, great test scores. It did awesome. Like the review, like the preview screenings got the best test scores anyone had ever seen. Everyone was really excited. And then like 2 weeks before it came out, this little movie called Batman came out. And it got lost in the shuffle forever.
Yeah.
Well, didn't it open? It was like between that and Indy.
Yeah, and Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Yeah, those. It was that same summer. And it just died. And the reviews were terrible. And yeah, now it's one of the premier
cult movies.
I think
it's so funny.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Well, and it gave us Michael Richards and Fran Drescher. And okay, well, it gave us Michael Richards. Yes, and that's the movie everyone knows Kevin McCarthy for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it Arthur Scrimshaw?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no. Shoot, I forget what the character's name was.
Damn.
I'll look it up. Go ahead and move on.
All right. Well, when you mentioned we were going to do this, I wanted to stay away from the obvious ones because, you know, I wrote an article for another site about this. And you know,
No Hudson Hawk?
Well, I wrote an article about summer movie flops. I mentioned like Hudson Hawk, Planet of the Apes, Alien 3, Wild Wild West, Problem Child, Island of Dr. Moreau. So I wanted to stay away from the obvious ones and just start with the ones that are really, really brutal. So I thought I'd start with Jaws the Revenge. In fact, even Jaws 3D, they're both summer movies.
R.J. Fletcher, sorry.
Thank you, R.J. Fletcher. Scrimshaw, that was another character he played in Interspace.
Okay, yeah, I just remember, you got to watch Happy Father's Day, Dad. You idiot, I wanted a Rolex! A Rolex! Yeah, and Gandhi too. Yes.
Gandhi okay, too.
Sorry, okay, sorry, Jaws. Right,
Jeff. I was mentioning Jaws 3D and Jaws the Revenge. It's hard to... It's so awful that the Jaws sequels are as bad as they are because the original, of course, really started the whole summer movie trend. It really was the first of the great summer movies. Then you had Jaws 3D with really some of the worst 3D effects I've ever seen.
I was watching I Love the 80s. I love that show. And they were talking about Jaws 3D. And they were showing the scene where he's like swimming towards the people underneath the water. Mm-hmm. But the 3D, he wasn't even moving. Like his tail wasn't moving. He was just, it was like an image just moving closer to the screen. Yeah. It looks so bad.
It's so fake and so dumb. And Jaws the Revenge, which is slightly better, but it's still, you can't get past the fact that it's about a shark who follows a woman from the East Coast all the way to the Bahamas to wreak revenge on her. And at one point, Michael Caine actually crashes his plane into the shark in hopes of killing the shark.
Michael Caine, isn't it?
Michael Caine is in Jaws of Revenge. It's actually the movie, when he won the Academy Award for Hannah and Her Sisters, he was not able to pick it up because he was so busy making Jaws of Revenge. So he actually missed the chance to get an Academy Award because he was working with an animatronic shark that wasn't working.
If they really want to make a good Jaws sequel, he should get into a mall and just wreak havoc in a mall. There should be like a tidal wave or something, washes the shark into a shopping mall. There you go. So
and then
like Jaws 5.
And then take stuff from Evolution, since there are aliens in the mall and that.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Or like, what else is that like? Or like Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah. Ooh, Deep Blue Sea versus Jaws. You could do that.
So big fake like robot shark versus like all these CGI sharks.
And LL Cool J is right in the middle.
Wow. Okay, then. So shall we talk about real quickly what defines a box office bomb?
Sure.
Something that makes nowhere near what its budget was. Close is livable.
Right. And when it's like it's a $50 million movie and it makes like $53 million, that's like when it's a disappointment or an underachiever.
Well, even if it makes 40 or 45, you know you're going to make your money back in home video.
Right.
You know, if it makes like 25 and it cost 50, you're in trouble.
Like Grindhouse.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, like one of my favorite bombs of the last couple of years, Miami Vice. I really loved that movie, but it made like 60 something million, which is terrific, but then it costs like $175 or so to make.
Well, there is.
What is Colin Farrell charging these days?
Well, it was an expensive movie. It really was.
Well, it probably wasn't as big a flop as, you know, Flyboy. So, you know, sorry. Yeah. I have to get that jab in whenever I get a chance.
I don't know why you hated it as much as you did. I didn't think it was that.
It hasn't
bad.
Stayed with me, honestly. Like, right. We saw that.
Well, me either, but I didn't think it was. I remember seeing it and being like, oh, that was so decent. And then you guys went and saw it, like, just hated it.
Every time they were in the air, it was awesome. I loved all the dogfights. Yes. All the stuff on the ground, like with the girl who couldn't speak English.
It was Pearl Harbor.
That's what it was. With James Franco.
Yes. That. Because Pearl Harbor sucked, but I miss you. Okay. You know, sometimes there are some really amazingly good movies that flop. The one that surprised me most, there's a big list on Wikipedia about box office flops. Fantasia was a humongous flop.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. It cost $2.28 million to make, but it only made $361,000. Wow. And that, I don't know, granted, with all the DVD releases and everything, it's more than made its money back. But still, you see these movies that have just really flopped, and you just don't quite understand why.
Oh, sure.
Was Howard the Duck a summer movie?
Yes.
Yes, it was.
And it deserved the bomb.
Have you seen Ishtar?
Yeah.
I haven't. Is it as bad as...
It's terrible in a really different way, because on one hand, there's no little person in a duck suit and Leah Thompson with the huge hair and all
that.
She's
hot, though.
Yeah, she is. So...
I don't know what it is with me today. I had biscuits and gravy for breakfast. Maybe that was it.
It's just
he's huffed up on biscuits and gravy.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
The thing about Ishtar, it's like, you know, it's awful in such a different way. It's Dustin Hoffman and Warren Beatty playing these two lounge singers who think they're awesome. So it's all these musical numbers of them singing these like intentionally terrible songs, but the scenes aren't funny. They're just really, really awful to sit through. And then, I mean, the funniest part of the movie is there's this huge sandstorm in the middle of the desert, and they're riding this blind camel. And it's a funny scene because, like, the bad guys are tracking them with radar, and you see the radar blip of this camel, like, running in circles because it can't see anything. And then, like, after the sandstorm, they wake up in the desert, and they think they're, like, amazed that they're alive, and they realize that they're surrounded by vultures who are, like, hoping that they were dead. So, like, the funniest thing in this $50 million movie was the blind camel and the vultures. That's the funniest thing in the whole movie.
Okay, then. Wow.
Yeah, otherwise, it's a real stinker.
Yeah, speaking of another one that really deserves all the crap it got, Looney Tunes Back in Action.
Yeah, that was
terrible. I saw it at the Dollar Theater and won, like, $20 back.
I also saw it at the Dollar Theater.
I saw it at an actual theater.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Like, it was a date, too. Ooh, didn't see her again. Yeah,
and I like Joe Dante. A lot.
Love Joe Dante.
And there were scenes, a couple scenes here and there where, like, Yosemite Sam's running around, and it's a perfect, they're perfect moments in a Looney Tunes cartoon, but the rest of it was so awful.
Brandon Fraser, really? And Jenna Elfman?
Steve Martin?
Yeah.
Oh. Almost as bad as Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Hey.
Almost.
Leave Rocky and
Bullwinkle. Oh, dude.
That's actually on my list.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you go ahead and talk about that one next.
Though I'm going to nerd out for you and go, That was a fall film, Looney Tunes back in action.
Oh, I think I saw it in the summer. That's all. Oh, that's okay, why.
Yeah, Rocky and Bullwinkle cost well over $100 million, made, I think, about $25 million. Yeah.
Ouch.
It's a bad film.
The celebrity crush of that week for me was Piper Perabo.
She's so cute. Yeah. She's still cute. I thought she was cute when she popped up in The Prestige. I'm like, oh, yeah. Don't kill her.
Oh. Spoiler.
For a movie that came out 2 years ago.
I liked Rocky and Bullwinkle. I thought it was decent.
Kind of. I think it was a bad movie. Yeah. I think the thing with Robert De Niro was a little sad. doing a parody of himself, I thought that was a little ridiculous.
Yeah. But yeah. Like the scene where they're chasing him in the helicopter and the car all downtown stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's some really very well made movie, but I thought the cartoons were so much better than the live action people. And I think that's another problem that Looney Tunes had.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Best line of that whole movie though was when Piper Perabo is getting arrested by John Goodman and she's like, no, I swear to God, they really are talking moose and squirrel or something. And he goes, yeah, and I'm really John Goodman. Now get in the car. It's like, yes.
I will admit, it is a true masterpiece compared to pretty much any Shaquille O'Neal movie. Because he had blue chips, but my personal turd burger would be Steel.
That was a summer movie.
I forgot about that. Have you guys seen that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I knew someone who's involved with the production, and so I had to see it. And yeah, even though that person said, dude, don't. And so, yeah. Yeah. Oh, that one hurt.
I thought he stopped after Shazam.
Kazam.
Kazam, whatever. Same thing.
Sorry, it was Kazam. Yeah.
No, Shazam's Captain Marvel. That's cool.
Oh, okay.
Kazam is a dumb genie. Yes.
He just did three movies, yeah, because he did Blue Chips, which was really good, and then Steel, which was terrible, and then Kazam, which was even worse, amazingly.
Like, Steel had, like, TV movie of the week level special effects.
Yeah.
Shazam, like the Phantom.
He's a freaking rapping genie who lives in a beatbox.
Kazam. Don't say Shazam. It's Kazam,
sorry,
man.
Kazam, sorry.
I got, yeah. Oh. Yeah. Are there any, did any of your guilty pleasures come out of this, like, box office flops?
Only the ones, like, we were talking about earlier. I mean, I'll just...
Well, I mean, guilty pleasures, not, like, great films.
Not a whole lot, no.
Okay, because like the one that I have to bring up, and oh, I'm going to get so much hate mail for this one, but Josie and the Pussycats.
What are you
talking about? No. There are two reasons. There are two very specific reasons.
Azario Dawson?
No, the song Backdoor Lover is one of the funniest freaking things I've ever heard in my life. And then at the end when they come back and they crash land at the Metallica concert and they're all in body casts.
Oh, I never saw it.
You never saw it? Oh, see, no. You can't dog it if you haven't seen it. There are some... Yeah.
Have you seen it, Barry?
Yeah,
it's bad. Oh, don't get me wrong. It's bad, but it's
Do you
like,
have it?
Yeah.
I'm snagging that.
Confessions of a Screen Geek. Yes, I
Yeah, know. I mean, the whole Carson Daly thing made me throw up a little bit in my mouth. But
that's okay. I have Virtuosity. I'll own up to that one.
Yeah, at least you don't own Body of Evidence. I don't either, but you know. That was another big flop. No, whoa.
As we look over at Barry,
it's all about the Willem Dafoe, huh? Ouch. Okay, shall we talk about some of our favorite movies that really are... Oh, I'm sorry. I missed one more guilty pleasure.
Go ahead.
Last Action Hero.
That's a definite box office bomb. Yeah, that's on my list.
But it is so much fun. Not so much for you?
I saw it in the theater. I hated that movie.
Did you?
Even when I was younger, I thought the action sequences were pretty cool, but when it gets to the real world at the end of the movie, it was such a drag. And then, like, randomly, Ian McKellen, his death shows up. It's like, what are you doing in this movie?
Really? I don't remember that.
Yeah, it's so weird. It's like,
yeah, it's Bergman's Seventh Seal at the end.
Yeah. And Danny DeVito does the voice of this animated cat named, like, Sergeant Whiskers. It's like, what are you doing? There's no action movie with an animated cat in it. What is this? What are you doing in this movie?
This movie film. Makes you angry, doesn't it?
It's so random. I think that's my problem with it. Like, there's so many things there that are really cool. And I've heard that the original screenplay for it was really brilliant.
Okay.
But and I the whole middle section of it, the whole like where they go to the video store and like all the videos are like Stallone movies, and
Sharon's phone number starts with 555.
Yeah, and Sharon Stone's cameo and Robert Patrick, the two cameos that overlap, like the stuff like that, I thought was a lot of fun, but.
I didn't like the kid.
I hated the kid, Austin O'Brien.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just like, annoying little shit. I really didn't like him.
Was that a better?
I retract my entry. No, I still liked it. I don't own it or anything, but I liked it. Okay, some great films that ended up being box office bombs. Should we start with The Iron Giant?
Yes.
Because,
it's one of the best.
Yeah.
That's a case. A lot of these, I think we're going to find, are movies that were mismarketed completely.
Yeah.
The Iron Giant is a brilliant film. It is, I mean, it's... done to make people of an older generation feel like they're kids. It's not a kid's movie by a long shot. Even though it is perfectly appropriate for kids, that's not really how it was written, I don't think. And I thought it was brilliant. It was heartwarming. It has the one performance of Vin Diesel's that I like.
Did he have any dialogue besides, oh,
nope. Oh, Garth? He said that.
Oh, so. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was, what was it? I think it was right before A Man Apart came out. He was on Regis and Kelly, and Regis made him do that.
Nice.
It's like, oh, you poor guy.
Thank you, Regis.
Yes.
I think I already told this story, but I'm going to tell it again because I love to tell it. The first time I'd ever heard of the Iron Giant was I was on a cross-country trip with a friend of mine, and we were going through this little town, this little Bible Belt state. I can't remember which one it was, but it was middle America, and we were just passing through this town to get gas. We're driving, and I didn't know what was in the theaters. Like, we had seen The Sixth Sense the week before, but I didn't know that The Iron Giant and Dick just opened up that weekend. So we're driving past this big theater. It's the one big movie theater in this whole town, this huge, huge marquee. And in big, giant letters, they've got the, you know, they have it up, you know, The Iron Giant and Dick. But the thing is,
while we were
passing the theater, this huge tree was blocking like the far right, far left half of the marquee. So all I saw on this big giant letters like, on giant screen, giant dick. So I'm like, what is that? Like, where are we? I thought we were like this little conservative town. I'm like, oh, okay.
Cover your eyes, Timmy.
Okay. So that was my first exposure to the Iron Giant.
Wow. Okay.
And but you know what? I don't know about you, but did you see it in the theater?
I did.
Yes, I did.
Okay, I didn't see it in the theater, and the trailers I saw, I'm like, that looks like the stupidest movie alive. I'm not seeing that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until video, like, oh, everybody's telling me I have to see it. Oh, it's so good, it's so good. And I finally saw, like, this is one of the best animated movies I've ever seen. Who would have thought? Because it was marketed so poorly.
Oh, yeah.
It looked too cheesy. It looked a little too smart for adults, but, like, too, like, nauseating for kids. I just didn't think it looked good.
There you go. And let's see. Do you have one you want to bring up next, or...?
Sure.
I'm not going to bring up Chipmunk Adventure. I'm crossing that off.
I love the Chipmunk Adventure.
Yeah, yeah.
True Romance. True Romance. Yes. I think the best film that Quentin Tarantino ever did. Sorry to go like from a G movie to a hard R.
No. That's okay. We're going to be jumping all over the place.
But yeah, that was a summer movie. And
Can I like it better than Death Proof?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I love Death Proof, but I do. True Romance is still my favorite Tarantino movie, and he did make it.
Yes. Yes. He just wrote it, right?
Yeah. Right.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. Yeah. Yes. I'll go with my favorite movie for the next 10 years that bombed horribly at the box office, which made Barry laugh. The Fountain. Talk about a movie that was mismarketed.
Yeah.
Just let it go in art house theaters. Don't try to... Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you're very right. Enough said. If it had been released like Requiem for a Dream was in a very limited release, I think it would have found a better audience as opposed to like, what did it open up against? It was
Tenacious D and Bond.
Yeah, that's right.
Ouch. That's right.
Yeah.
Although even Tenacious D got squished, but still, like, why? That weekend?
But like, it gets Casino Royale. What are they thinking?
Again, the art house crowd, perfect. Exactly. Otherwise, not so much.
Yeah, but the mall audience, like, I don't get it. It's just him.
Yeah, I went and saw it opening weekend.
What's happening?
Yeah, I saw it opening weekend with my wife, and there was, like, one guy. I was gave out a couple movie posters. One guy's like, I can't wait to see this. Everyone else walked out. What the heck was that?
Yeah.
It's really sad. So, shall I go to the obscure from the obscure to the obscure?
Please.
Mars Attacks.
Oh, I love Mars Attacks.
That was a Christmas movie release. You know, like released.
Sorry.
That's okay. It gets. No, it's, I shouldn't.
No. It's good to know, though.
Just get off the. And same with The Fountain. That was also a Christmas
movie. Yeah. It was a November release. Yeah.
Who cares? We're talking about flops. But, you know, it's funny about that film because it opened on Friday the 13th and it opened up against Jerry Maguire and The Preacher's Wife.
It's like, it didn't have a chance.
What were they thinking? You know, and I can't defend the movie as much as I can when I first saw it, but I thought it was like one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. But you know what? It was doomed opening up against those two movies.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of these are going to be just really bad decisions.
Have you seen it lately, either of you?
Yeah.
Do the special effects still hold up?
Oh, the special effects are terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
they're really good. Cool. The jokes are on and off. You know, so
you need is Slim Whitman. That's the only joke that matters in the entire thing.
Slim Whitman's great. And the scene where the whole sequence where Martin Short tries to seduce the alien is so funny. That whole sequence is so outrageous and so sick and so weird. It's funny because he brings her into like the Lincoln Room and he plays that weird kinky music.
Yeah,
that whole sequence is great. But like, but some of it, it's almost like you get the feeling that like Tim Burton was like, it's gonna be funny. You know, Jack Nicholson's playing the president. That's automatically funny. You know?
There you go.
You'd have some jokes there.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. All right. I've got two left. How many have you got left?
I've got a few.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and rattle off a few?
Inner Space. total box office. Speaking of Joe Dante, one of my favorites, The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai, completely badly advertised by Fox. Hocus Pocus, your favorite.
Yes.
I'll say this about Hocus Pocus. Why the heck didn't that movie come out in October? Why did it come out in July? That was so stupid. It's a Halloween movie. It's the whole movie takes place over Halloween.
Yeah, it would have been great. It would have done well, too.
It's the perfect Halloween. But, you know, I think one of the reasons why, now that I think about it, you know, what Disney released that Halloween was Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh.
Maybe they thought too much of a good thing. But, yeah, Hocus Pocus coming out in July was so stupid. And here's another quick thing about Super Mario Brothers. The movie Almost Unreal that plays over the end credits, Roxette, you know, that was written for Hocus Pocus, because the course of the movie keeps talking about Hocus Pocus. They keep talking about it, but they decided to stick it in Super Mario Brothers instead, and it makes no sense. It's okay. Like this song that obviously belongs to Hocus Pocus.
You started it. Double Dragon.
Oh, no.
No, Street Fighter.
Oh, with Van Damme?
Yes.
You know that opened on Christmas Day?
Did it really?
Christmas Day. Can you believe that? Like, it's Christmas. Let's go see Street Fighter.
Well, better than my family. It's Christmas. Let's go see Black Christmas. Let's go see AVPR.
Ooh, you got, yeah, you don't have a really good track record on that, do you?
Happy birthday, Jesus.
Yeah. I've got two left. I'll just rattle them off really quick. This one's a personal favorite, The Majestic.
Yeah.
I adored The Majestic. I will watch that anytime. Oh, I love Frank Darabont. In general, everything he's done I've liked to some extent. Mm-hmm. And finally, our favorite movie last year, Zodiac.
Yeah.
Oh, that movie got bent over.
Yeah, yeah. And
spanked.
I don't know if it would have done better if it was released at a different time, but truly, March just felt wrong for that film.
It did. It should have been a summer movie, because it kind of felt like it took place during a hot summer. And
summer would have been better, yeah, because... like, even, like, if they released it just like they did Spike Lee's Summer of Sam, exactly, to tie in with the whole summer thing. Or even, like, sometime in December, maybe an Oscar slot or something. But, yeah, it just felt wrong.
It's kind of too bad they didn't open up this year after Iron Man, with Robert being in it.
And, no joke.
That's true.
You know, if they could have waited.
Yeah, the momentum. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, because now everybody's, like, looking forward to this film he's got. Not Tropic Thunder, but the one he has coming out this Christmas, the one with Terrence Howard. It's like this drama about a homeless guy. I don't know if it's going to be any good, but you know, at least that movie's going to have some serious momentum because it's Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah,
and Terrence Howard.
Yeah.
So, okay, those are the last two I got.
Okay, well, I wanted to mention Labyrinth, another summer movie.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking Black Cauldron, but...
Good one.
Yeah.
Very good one. Yeah, I like Black Cauldron. Harry and the Hendersons. I like the film.
Yeah, I like that too.
Rima Williams, The Adventure Begins, one of my favorite action movies. Go ahead, Dave.
No, go ahead. We skipped something in the show, and people are going, where are the DVD releases for this Tuesday? So we're just going to have a whole bunch of releases to do at once. Sorry.
We'll get there. Escape from L.A., for that matter. Escape from New York wasn't a big hit either.
Yeah, but did you like Escape from L.A.?
Oh, yeah.
I'll admit it, I did too.
I liked it a lot.
Really? Yes. Yeah. Even Surfer Dude?
Yes.
Yeah.
Surfing Down Worship
Road. The way, so man.
Okay. I lived in L.A., so some of those jokes, maybe it's just because of that, made it funnier. I don't know.
I have to say, the opening credits for that movie are so awesome. It's like lasers, like, with the title of, like, Kurt Russell. It's like, ugh.
Yes. You didn't like it when they were on, when the hang gliders and they're storming down and blasting up Disneyland? You didn't think that was cool?
So and the special effects are so dated.
Oh, they absolutely are.
But I'm gonna
watch it tonight.
Even then they were bad, but it's a fun movie.
Oh, they were bad then too?
Oh yeah, even then.
Okay, like, good.
They weren't meant to be.
Because I'm watching it like, this was special effects back then?
No.
I do love Escape from New York though.
Yes.
Yeah, great film. Well, since we were going to talk about flops, I'm just going to mention some bad ones. A movie that Dave thinks is one of the funniest movies ever made. A film that I honestly will defend, but it, not really. I'm an idiot for defending it. Poltergeist 3. I know you
freaking.
How would you defend that?
I thought it was scary when I was a kid. I was afraid to look in a mirror after
that. Okay, was that in the parking garage? Like,
yes.
I'll admit, yeah.
I watched, that was the first horror movie I ever saw, and I've never been so disgusted. Like, in a, like, not like, oh, that was gross. This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Was the first one you ever saw, though?
Yeah. Yeah. I was a very sheltered child. Yeah. Yeah. That's long since been obliterated, but, you know.
Do you guys remember the Jackie Chan remake, Around the World in 80 Days?
Yeah.
It's one of the biggest flops of all time.
I stayed away.
It's terrible. Last movie that Schwarzenegger has done, by the way. Judge Dredd, I'd say. arguably the worst movie Stallone has ever done.
Well, because you had the Rob Schneider cameo.
Rob Schneider and Sylvester Stallone. God.
Caddyshack 2, one of the worst sequels of all time. Bill Cosby as Ghost Dad.
Ooh, no, there's only one movie. If you're going to bring up Bill Cosby,
you eat the pudding.
No, there's. Did you ever see Leonard Part 6?
No, I haven't.
Oh, honestly. Don't.
I'm not planning.
It's Bill Cosby against an army of killer animals.
Only actually, now I might see
it. It's not as cool as South Park. They're not like the woodland critters.
Okay, it's like, got like the butter sticks and yeah.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, he uses butter sticks to kill the lobsters. Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah, terrible.
butter sticks?
Yes. Yeah, if you want to like hurt yourself after watching a movie, watch that's Leonard Part 6.
That would be the one. I'd say my pick for worst comic book movie of all time, not only because of how bad it is and being people's the comic book, just because I think it's a terrible movie, LXG, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Okay.
Oh, I hate it.
That's my pick for worst comic book movie. And then finally on this, because it's go on forever, my pick for worst movie of all time, which is also a summer film, the Garbage Pail Kids movie. It's the only time in my life I ever saw a film. It was like 5 minutes into it. The opening credits weren't even done. I knew I hated it. 5 minutes in, like, this is the worst thing. And it just got worse. Like, an hour into the movie, all of a sudden they're rapping and singing. These garbage
Well, kids. I just like, it's a movie based off trading cards. No, I'm good. I'm good.
I got to ask, was The Shadow a bomb?
Yeah, unfortunately. And I really like The Shadow.
I just watched that the other day, too, I think. Or part of it.
Cool.
Yeah, I love
it's good
love
stuff.
The Shadow.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Well, since we forgot to do this week's DVD releases, we're gonna have a whole crap load of stuff. So let's just get through all this real quick because we've still got listener mail and voicemail. Yes. All right.
This week's DVD releases. One of the first hit of 2008. Jack Nicholson, Morgan Freeman, and Rob Reiner's The Bucket List. His first hit in a long time. A movie that Dave and I suffered through together because we love our wives and for no other reason. The Other Boleyn Girl.
That one scene where the entire crowd went, oh, it was worth it for that, just because it was such a funny thing.
Because, you know, what are the odds that we'd hear an audience reaction like that to The Other Boleyn Girl? That's like something you hear to, like, American Pie sequel.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. What were you going to say, Josh?
It's not even worth seeing for Scarlett and Natalie.
No. And I like the both of them a lot, but no. Not even for Eric Bonham. Jumper, speaking of an actor who is underwhelming, Hayden Christensen, starring in Jumper. Available in one and two disc, but why would you want the two disc of Jumper? Even if you're a Samuel L. Jackson or, God help you, a Rachel Bilson fan, Jumper is not worth seeing, believe me. Funny Games, the most disturbing film I've seen in a long time. The remake of Funny Games with Naomi Watts and Tim Roth and Michael Pitt. And Brady Corbett. Very disturbing. That comes out. High Noon, the two-disc Ultimate Collector's Edition. Awesome. Great, great Westerns of all time.
Yes.
Witless Protection, Larry the Cable Guy, and Jenny McCarthy.
And one of the worst movies of all time.
I like Jenny McCarthy.
Did that
why
come out in theaters?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, it was in theaters like a week ago.
that's what was last weekend. Okay.
And then finally, a film that got great reviews. It opened in one screen in Denver. We barely got it. Everybody I know who's seen it says it's awesome, and they say it actually looks a lot like The Happening, by the way, The Signal.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard good things about it.
Yeah, I've heard really good things. I want to see that one.
They were doing that at Comic-Con. Remember all the people with the foil on their head and all that?
That's right, yeah.
All right, then. Well, let's skip into this week's theatrical releases and then move on to DVDs, and then we'll... Yeah, wow.
Lots this week's theatrical releases, he's back, he's pissed, and this time he's Ed Norton. Ed Norton is The Incredible Hulk along with, Liv Tyler.
Have you seen the latest theatrical trailer for Incredible Hulk? Mm-hmm. They rip off the opening from the 70s TV show, completely, from him sitting in the chair to the...
Wow.
It's awesome. I love that.
I'm actually really excited for it now.
I'm getting more and more excited for it, most definitely.
I think it'll probably open at number one, considering it's up against M. Night Shyamalan's The Happening, a movie that I guess I'm the last person in America really is wanting to see this film.
Have you guys seen what people in New York are doing to the subway advertisements and stuff?
No.
Changing it to, like, The Crappening really, really... messing with the posters and stuff.
Okay, then.
Poor guys.
I really wanted to see it. I probably will see it still at some point, but it just dropped from an opening weekend release to DVD.
Dying to see it.
Yes.
I'm like Will Smith and I Am Legend. I'm the last man who wants to see this film. All right, next week's DVD releases.
There's good stuff here.
Some good stuff, some bad stuff. A film that made over $70 million, even though I don't know anybody who liked it. Matthew McConaughey and Kate Hudson in Fool's Gold.
Thank God I really wanted to see that.
You just wanted to see McConaughey without a shirt on?
Of course.
Oh, okay.
I think we should take off our shirts.
Oh, no one wins. No one wins.
There's the trailer for the movie. You just watch the trailer.
That's true.
That's, yeah.
Yes.
It's like rated PG for no shirts. The Sword and the Stone, 45th Anniversary Special Edition.
Oh, I'm so getting this.
I love the Wizard's Duel, but I'm not crazy about this movie, to tell you the truth.
I dug it.
Yeah?
It's fun, yeah.
The moment when he pulls the sword out of the stone, spoiler, it's a great scene, I thought.
By the way.
It's not like one of my favorites, but still, I remember it with great fondness, so okay. Yes.
Still my pick for Best Picture of the Year. I haven't seen a movie I've liked more this year than Be Kind or Rewind.
Oh, dear God, really? Yes.
Yeah, it's still my...
Oh, okay.
What's yours? What's your pick
for this year so far?
Iron Man.
U2 3D.
That's cool.
I don't know.
You got nothing?
I really haven't seen anything that I've been like, besides Iron Man, but I don't want to put that as number one.
Dave?
Oh, Wine's definitely up there.
Cool.
I loved that movie. Even though there's a kid two seats down from me texting on his dying cell phone. Yeah. Beyond that, I can't wait to get it. I'm buying it.
That movie was not made for that kid.
No. That's the problem. No. Essentially, it was everyone who couldn't get into whatever popular movie was. Yeah. It was at the mall.
Couldn't get it to Step Up 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't get it into Step Up 2. I went to go see it, and it was so
wow.
Was it opening weekend, though?
Yeah, it was on Valentine's Day. I went to go on Valentine's Day.
You can probably get into it now.
Well, it's coming on DVD. That's right. And like in July, I think. So
there you go. Yes. Okay.
Okay, ooh. And the Nude Bomb. That's Don
another
Adams,
bomb.
Right?
Another bomb. It's a Get Smart movie, yes.
That's what I thought, yeah, Don Adams.
It's better than the Get Smart remake with Andy Dick as their child and stuff, so yeah.
Awful. Andy Dick.
Yes. Goodness. All right.
Speaking of a flop, Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins, the latest debacle from Martin Lawrence. This is from Malcolm Lee, Spike's nephew. I've heard very mixed to terribly negative things about this movie. I think the real question is it worse than College Road Trip or better? Stay tuned. And then finally,
okay, then.
Speaking of a cult summer movie flop, this movie opened up against the Fugitive, and it totally got hammered, even though everybody I know who's seen it loves this movie, the So I Married an Axe Murderer Deluxe Edition. But
I put deluxe in quotes because there's nothing on it.
Yeah.
Is there a chance
that'll be changed before it comes out?
No, or? I doubt it. I read the DVD talk review, and they're like, I don't know why they call this deluxe, because there's like barely a trailer, and that's it.
That sucks.
But it already came out on DVD with nothing.
It did. If it's a better transfer, I'll pick it up. It's worth it just for Phil Hartman.
Yeah.
As the prison guard named Vicky.
Yeah, he's hilarious, and you know all the scenes with the Scottish family are great.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Did you want to talk about The Strangers at all?
Yeah, I do want to talk about The Strangers.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Should we do that real quick? Yeah, let's do that real quick before we get to mail. Okay. Go ahead.
I liked it a lot. If you're in my review on the site. I didn't... I only gave it a 7.5, though, because it really... wasn't anything that new. I felt kind of like what you felt, but I thought it was very suspenseful, and it bothered me when I came home. So I'm kind of like with Dave with Cloverfield. I felt like because I was still thinking about it 2 days after I saw it, that it was better. I don't know. I can't speak today. You should just talk about
it. No, I know exactly, exactly what you mean. And truly, the night after I saw it, I had a real hard time sleeping. I can't say it's the best home invasion thriller of the year. We already talked about that one.
Yeah.
But this movie really taps in just, you know, it's, and you know, you've seen where I live. Actually, yeah. Not yet, but I live in the woods.
Oh no, I picked you up for a Comic-Con.
That's right. You did. Yeah. You did. Yeah. So, you know, I live out in the middle of the woods surrounded by trees, and it's just me and my wife, and you know,
yeah.
You know, I didn't want to think about someone dressed like Barbie coming to my door. And that sequence is freaking creepy because you can't see her face, by the way.
Yeah.
There's so many great moments and scenes in the movie. My problem with it is that to me it reminded me too much of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I told you, because the opening was, this story is true,
which,
you
know, is totally stupid.
And the little title cards that come down, like, this is out of Texas Chainsaw. And I just thought the ending was both too familiar and I thought too cruel. I couldn't forgive it. And you know, I found Roger Ebert had the same problem as I did.
Oh really?
I just, yeah, like for me, and it's not that every horror movie has to be quote unquote fun, but I just thought that the ending was so nasty to a point where it kind of put a bad taste in my mouth.
Oh well.
But you know, it's the way that a lot of horror movies now are ending. And
yeah.
Yeah.
But definitely, if you're a horror fan, I'd say it's definitely worth checking out.
And so. I think it's going to be not only a horror movie that really captures, I mean, I think it's going to continue to do well all summer long, but, you know, as we said before, I'm sure by the end of the year, The Strangers 2 will be greenlit. You know they're going to keep making, it only costs $9 million, made $20 million in 1 week. You know they're going to have the script ready by October.
The Strangers is...
By tomorrow, actually.
The more Strangers.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because...
The Strangers 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Minor spoiler, you know, one of the cast, a member of the cast is alive at the end of the movie, so, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
there you go. Okay.
Keep going. More Strangers.
All right. Well, let's move on to some listener mail. We have two pieces of email, and then we have actually not even so much a voicemail, but a skit. So let's start off with the email. It's actually from Billy Flynn over at Geek Radio Daily. Yeah, that's the one that you were expecting.
That's the one.
Okay.
I was waiting for that one.
I haven't heard this yet, so bring it on.
Well, this
it's
is
me.
Yeah, it's an email, not a voicemail. Greetings, gentlemen, because I always send them that as well. This is not hate mail. This isn't an explanation email. Indiana Jones, great name, a motion picture icon, loved by many, and yet his new film is getting some crazy mixed reviews. What's going on? Here's the rundown. Your enjoyment of the new movie all depends on not on what you saw on the big screen first. Because for me, that was Temple of Doom. When Raiders came out, I missed it in theaters. And back then, well, that means you missed it. What really determines how you will feel about the new film is which of the original films is your favorite. So, I read the novelization that came out, and then 2 years later saw it on cable. Wow, I love Raiders. Such a fun film that really was an old Saturday morning movie serial. The fun pulp adventures of the action hero from days long ago that we were back and we had Nazi and temples and whips and the wrath of God. Crazy. Temple of Doom I saw in the theater, and let me tell you something. Most people refuse to believe. It's a good movie. Is it as good as Raiders? No. It was not supposed to be. It was a prequel, so of course it would not be as cool as that story. It was an Indiana Jones adventure. The guy from the first flick. This is the kind of kids, people that Indy knows because of the contacts he puts in danger. Last Crusade. I get why folks love this movie. It's a hell of a great time. However, as a film, as a story, it does not compare to Raiders. It was merely there to give you one last grand adventure with Indy. Raiders of the Lost Ark is a great pulp adventure story with a hero who is straight out of the early movie serials. Last Crusade was less a movie serial than a comedic action flick. There are great moments in all three films, but it was in Raiders that... Sorry. There are great moments in all three films, but it was in Raiders that Indiana Jones was the closest to the character he was designed to be. A 1950s action revival of an old pulp hero. And as such, it's pretty good. Is it great? No. No, it isn't. But it's just as believable as the previous films. My biggest reason for not having the big issue with the new film comes from me being an indie fan. I've read comics, choose your own adventure books, played the Atari 2600 Raiders, so have I, played the original indie RPG, and most importantly, I played Indiana Jones and The Fate of Atlantis, which was an Xbox game. Yep. The last being a fantastic LucasArts game from the mid-90s that lets you play as Indiana Jones, and yes, Atlantis is what we are searching for. Yes, we do look for a Philosopher's Stone. Thanks for asking. And the game lets you play more as a fighter, or a puzzle fight solver, or with a sidekick. It transformed Indy fully into the pulp hero he was meant to be. Of course, Indiana Jones is going to be involved in whatever was happening at that time. The 30s did have Nazis hunting arcane trinkets for Hitler. The 50s were so about the sci-fi craze and the lights in the sky. Dave, you yourself kept naming things you enjoyed, but couldn't explain why it bugged you as much as it did. My thought is you see Indiana Jones as the guy from Last Crusade, whereas I know him to be the pulp adventure from movie serials like he was in Raiders. It was all your perception going in. So, yeah. And then finally, oh, Student Bodies on DVD? Holy freaking crap. The Breather is the greatest slasher flick killer ever, voiced by Richard Belzer, though he is credited as Richard Brando. Yes, it falls apart in the last act, but oh, the last you get. Dead men may not tell tales, but they can fart. So, yes. And then, anyways, great show as always, guys. And Dave, I have to remind you, one last time that you told us, oh, he's calling me out, that you told us all in the summer movie preview not to look at Indy like episode one. Take it for what it is. I did. I loved it. So until they decide to let Paris Hilton play Holly Golightly, keep bringing me the Screen Geeks greatness. So, yes.
I still didn't like it. Whatever.
It's all good. All right. And finally, we have a bit of a skit. And really, there's no way you can really set this up. I think we should just play it and go from there.
Roll it.
Oh, Lucas?
Yes, Stephen.
It seems to me that you're out of toilet paper.
Oh, sorry, Stephen. Sorry. I see. Is it an episode one or an episode two?
I'm afraid it's an episode two, actually. Regardless, it deserves a flush. You might say I'm having a close encounters of the turd kind, if you catch my drift.
Why don't you use the Force, Stephen?
That's funny, George. I did actually use the Force earlier.
What does it look like, Stephen?
Well, it's the color purple, for one thing.
Does it smell bad, Stephen?
Always.
That's hilarious, Stephen. I guess you got a THX-1138 on your hands there.
That doesn't make any sense, and neither does that movie.
It actually does, Stephen. If you take those numbers and you apply it to Greek mythology and substitute...
Don't geek out on me, George. Don't nerd out on me. I don't want to hear that shit. I got my own shit to deal with here. Literally. Where's the toilet paper?
Check under the cabinet, Stephen.
Let me see here. No, all I see is Frank Darabont's script for my long-awaited Indiana Jones sequel. What you supposed to read this? I gave this to you. You left it under the fucking sink.
Yeah, I read it. Too much emotion, too much heart. Not enough Jar Jar. Definitely not enough Jar Jar. Yeah, too sentimental, Steven.
Well, what do you suggest? I mean, we could write a script together.
Nah, you know what I was thinking, Steven? We'll just CGI it.
Yeah, you can't CGI a plot, George.
You can, actually. With my new software, I'll show you. We'll just CGI the plot as it goes along. I'll just insert my favorite movies into the system. Let's see, we got Billy Bathgate, and we got Martians Go Home. There we go. Compute sequel. All done.
I was hoping we wouldn't use so much CGI. We didn't use it for the other sequels. Billy Bathgate, that's kind of random.
Well, that reminds me, I think we should do some touch-ups on that boulder from Raiders. It's a little too lumpy, in my opinion. It's definitely too lumpy. And we can have some of the little creature aliens pushing it, little digitized aliens. And maybe we can get Warwick Davis to actually help push them. A digitized Warwick Davis, of course. And we could have Hayden Christensen's face appear on the moon, and we could pan across the sky, and there's a Death Star, and a little...
George? Oh, well.
I like how Lucas turned into Rain Man instead of just Bert at the end there. Thanks to Marty.
Thank you, Marty. Great
how
stuff.
The hell did you think of that?
It's one thing to make fun of the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. It's another thing to say, wouldn't it be funny if they were talking about it while Spielberg was on taking a crap?
So our thanks to Marty. Wow, that's...
And this pretty much validates... It's perfect that you play that after we get the letter, because that kind of validates how you felt about the movie.
Yes, most definitely. And please, I mean, you know, if you leave us voicemails, it doesn't have to be, hey, I heart your show, you guys are great, or whatever. We welcome anything that is of comedic value or feedback or anything. So yes, if you want to, you can give us a call at 719-387-1804. If you have Skype, I'll put the Skype address. It's actually David Minkus, all as one word. I know, really original and really Screen Geeks related, but oh well. But yes, you also hit my voicemail that way. So if you don't want to do long distance, you can just do it over the PC. And we're going to be working on a commercial. So I would love to get feedback from people. Funny, serious, whatever. You guys suck. You guys rule. Whatever. I'm going to put it all together into one commercial. And I'm thinking it's going to be pretty good. So if we got anything else, I think that's more than enough for one week.
Well, I still feel like we got to address how Billy feels that the Raiders, the Indiana Jones of Raiders, is the same Indiana Jones as Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Okay, and if you want to tackle that, I'll let you.
Well, I don't know, like because you know he was attacking you, so I feel like
it was. I really don't think it was an attack as much as trying to understand where I was coming from.
Sure.
So that's I. It's the Matrix Reloaded for me, so still,
man.
It still gets me. We at the game store I work at, we have sodas. We get free sodas as employees. I refuse to take the Dr. Pepper because it has the Indiana Jones on the can. So, yeah.
So you're not going to see it again?
Oh, I'll see it at some point.
Yeah.
Down the road.
I personally don't want to.
Refrigerator. There you go. It's like in Scrubs, out of nowhere. Banana hammock, you know.
And I heard that nuking the fridge is the new Jump the Shark.
That's what Slash Film was saying, yes. Yeah.
Jump the Shark?
Yeah, you know how shows Jump the Shark because of the Happy Days thing? When a show goes from good to bad, when it crosses over to being useless?
Jump the Shark, now it's Nuke the Fridge.
Yeah. I think that's someone trying to build up the hype, really.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Okay. Right. If you'd like to send us an email, you can hit us all, Barry, Dave, Josh, Ethan, Nate. Ethan's been putting up stuff like crazy. I do appreciate that, sir. All of us at screengeeks.com. And we're going to do a film stop next, so we better stop this because we've been recording more than long enough. So, until next week, this is Dave.
This is Barry.
And Josh.
Peace.